would like to have a fresh start? How many would like to have a fresh start in our Christian lives? You know, many of us here this morning have made mistakes in our Christian lives. We're human, and that's normal. It's something we do. We've experienced setbacks, failures throughout our lives. Sometimes we allow these setbacks, these mistakes, and failures to enslave us to the point that we never enjoy the full Christian life that God has given us to enjoy. In John 10 and verse 10, we don't need to turn there, but John 10:10, Jesus Christ said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." That's John 10 and verse 10. Then he goes on to tell us that there is an adversary called the devil. And we all know about the devil. But he seeks to kill and destroy each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. And the devil will remind us of our past and keep us from enjoying the life that God has given to us. God says that I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want you to have a new beginning. I want to do something new in your life. So it's encouraging. God is encouraging. He's there for us. And aren't we glad that God wants to do something in our life? You know, doesn't it make us excited to know that God desires to give us a fresh start, a new beginning in life? With all of us here, and what all of us need here this morning is a fresh start, a new beginning with God. And, you know, we've, during the Passover and the unleavened bread season, we made a commitment and said that, you know, we're going to grow in our relationship with God. And we're going to pray more. We're going to read the Bible more. We're going to study more. We're going to get involved more in church. You know, I'm going to spend more quality time with my family. Well, the list could go on and on. The fact all of us here made some mistakes, or we made some bad decisions that hindered us from doing some of those things that we wanted to do. God's there for us. So, this morning, we need to follow according to Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Isaiah 43, verse 18. The Lord says, "Forget about what has happened before." So he tells us to forget about what's happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things I'm going to do. So there he's telling us to look forward. Look forward. And listen to what God's saying in this verse. Forget about what's happened before. He says, don't think about the past. It's over. It's behind us. You know, the book on that is closed. We need to understand that God is far more interested in our future than our past. And that's where we're going to spend the rest of our life. You know, he says, forget about your past. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look at the new things that I'm going to do, as we read in Isaiah. You know, Israel was being punished for their sins and rebellion against God. And God wanted to give hope and encouragement to his people. He wanted them to know that even though they were being punished, they weren't being forsaken. God wanted his people to understand that the punishment that they were experiencing would not be the end of them. It would not be the end. The fact is that God wants us God wants to give them and us a fresh start in life, a new beginning. You know, Israel, no doubt, was discouraged about, you know, because they thought this was the end. This was the end of them. And they thought that they had gone too far, that they had sinned and rebelled against God to the point that He was no longer wanting to be their God. Well, maybe they thought God wouldn't deliver them again. They thought maybe it was over. Well, then when they began to remember the former things or past deliverances, Israel could remember the past victories. They could remember when they were trapped by the Red Sea, then and had nowhere to go, how God made a way for them. He could remember the former things. They could remember the former things. But they couldn't see their future. They couldn't see their future. And that's why God said that I'm going to do something new. Maybe that's where we are today. Have we ever thought about that? You know, we feel that we've made so many mistakes. We've failed God so many times and sinned so many times that we haven't got a chance. But God doesn't want anything to do with us. Well, you know, we feel and believe that we have no future with God. But God's saying, and we have to remember, it's not over. It's not over. He says, I have plans for your life. I'm about to do something new for you. So today, I want to share with you how to make a fresh start. I want to share with you how to make a fresh start. And I want to share with you a formula for starting over. There is a formula that we can use to start over. And it all has to do with the word start. The word start, S-T-A-R-T. And regardless of what kind of failure we've had in the past, regardless of the failure we've had in our lives, here's how we start over. We start over with start. S is for stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. You know, if I want a fresh start in life, I have to stop making excuses for my failures. I've got to stop blaming other people. I've got to stop seeing myself as the victim of my circumstances. Think about this. The only person that can ruin my life is me. You know, I'm in charge. I'm the only one that can ruin my life. And nobody can ruin my life without my permission. You know, we have a choice. And this is, we can choose how we're going to respond to those hurts. The Bible says that the starting point is to just be honest and accept responsibility for my part in the problem. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. It says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. And this is what we've got to remember. We confess, then we get another chance. He gets a fresh start. He says the starting point to starting over is to be honest and face up to the problems. The problems that most of the problems in my life, most of the failures are my fault. You know, it's hard to get people to admit when they're wrong. And people don't like to admit, you know, I made a mistake or I blew it. Well, God says that if we make a mistake, if we admit our failures, and if we admit our sins, then He will give us another chance in life. We just read that. Well, the number one reason we fail in life is we don't prepare we don't prepare ourselves for the problems that we'll face in life. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 7, a sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them, but a fool never looks ahead and suffers the consequences. So we're told we must prepare ahead of time to look ahead. An example, was it raining when Noah began to build the ark? No. He had to prepare for the coming flood. He prepared in faith. In fact, it didn't rain for 120 years. But that's how long it took for him to get the ark built. And because we don't listen to others, you know, we oftentimes don't listen to good advice when it's offered. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs, plans fail without good advice. Plans fail without good advice. So we need to get all the advice that we can. And good advice from people that we know and that we can trust. You know, we want people to give us the advice, you know, the godly advice that is from God the Father. You know, and why won't people listen to the advice of others? Well, sometimes they think that they just don't need it. And that's called pride, and ego. Three-letter word, ego. And ego stands for edging God out. Edging God out. When a person thinks they know more than God, they push him out. They push him out of their life, and they're on an ego trip. And that trip leads to a dead end. You know, the Bible also says that pride always leads to destruction. Pride always leads to destruction. An arrogant attitude leads to a fall. And, you know, thinking about this, when I think I know it all and I can figure it out all by myself, I'm setting myself up for failure. I'm setting myself up for failure. If I don't listen and take advice from others, you know, if I don't take advice from my wife, my peers, brethren here in church, our ministry, you know, if we think it's, I'll just do it my way, you know, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We fail to prepare. And we fail to listen to other people, and we will fail as a result. So, a lot of times we give up too soon. A lot of times we give up too soon. And these are some of the greatest causes for failure. You know, we just give up too soon. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, if you give up when troubles come, it just shows that you're weak. You know, we can't give up. We can never give up. Failure is the path of least resistance. Failure is the path of least resistance. And the problem is that often during trying times, we just stop trying. You know, we give up. And that's not good. You know, very few people make it on the first try. Have you ever thought of that? Very few people make it on the very first try. And oftentimes, we just give up, you know, when success is just around the corner. And you'll you're never a failure. You know, you're never a failure until you give up. And sometimes, like I said, we just give up a little bit too soon. You know, it's always too soon to quit. And the Bible says we need to stop making excuses, admit when it's our fault, and get on with our lives. And people are very good at making excuses and rarely good. You know, they spend a lot of their energy thinking up reasons why they can't do something or why they're not supposed to do something. So S stands for stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. T. T stands for take an inventory of my life. Take an inventory of my life. You know, I need to take an inventory of my life. And that means I need to evaluate all my experiences. I need to look at what I've left after the failure. I need to take an inventory of my life's experiences and learn from each and every one of them. Galatians 3 and verse 4. Galatians 3 and verse 4. Galatians 3 and verse 4 says, You have experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. Well, the Living Bible says, you have suffered so much for the gospel. Now, are you going to throw it all overboard? I can hardly believe it. You know, we must learn from our mistakes. Failure can be our friend or it can be our foe. And we determine if our failure will be our friend or foe by the way we react, by the way we react to it. You know, if we learn from it, it can be our friend. However, if we don't, it's going to be our foe. You know, and there are four kinds of experiences that God uses to shape our lives. There's four kinds of experiences. Number one, He uses personal experiences to change our lives. The families that we grew up in, the people we relate to, you know, God can use our personal experience with our husbands or our wives. He uses personal experiences to shape us. The second is He uses vocational and educational experiences to shape our lives too. He uses vocational and educational experiences to shape our lives. The third, He uses spiritual experiences to shape our lives. He uses spiritual experiences to shape us, like coming to church, reading our Bible, meditating, fasting, and Bible study. All these are used as spiritual experiences to shape our lives. The fourth is He uses painful experiences to shape us. He uses painful experiences to shape us. You know, as we take inventory of our life and starting over, we need to ask ourselves three questions. What have I learned? What have I learned? You know, I know people 40, 50 years old, but they don't have 40 or 50 years of experience. You know, they've had the same year of experience over and over. You know, they've never quite learned anything. And what have we learned from our past experiences? If we don't sit down and think it through, you know, it's easy for us to end up repeating the same mistake over and over again, just because we didn't learn from it the first time. Second question is, what are my assets? What are my assets? What have I got going for me? What have I got going for me? Have I got my health? Have I got my freedom? Am I mentally sound? Have I got friends? The biggest thing of all is, have I got God? Have I got God? Have I got my church family? What do I have that I can get a fresh start with? The next question is, who can help me? Who can help me? When I get a fresh start, I need people on my side. I need somebody on my side. A friend, a support person, support group, and above all, we need God the Father. We need to find someone that can help us, to be there for us. You know, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, he'll be there. He's always there for us. All we need to do is ask. He'll help to pull our lives back together and make sure that we get started on the right foot. So we've covered S and T. The letter A is act in faith. Act in faith. The third step to getting a fresh start is act in faith. We have to launch out into new territory. You know, the Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. If we want to change our circumstance, it takes faith. And if we want to change our personality, it takes faith. If we want to change anything in our lives, we have to have faith. And Christ says in Matthew that according to your faith, it will be done to you. And that's a very simple statement, but it's also very powerful. According to your faith, it will be done to you. That means that we tend to get out of life, you know, what we expect. And what do we expect in life? Have we thought about that? What do we expect in life? Are things going to be better or worse? Are they going to be the same? If we act in faith, then we will do something positive to ensure that we don't repeat the same mistakes over and over. The faith that I'm talking about is not a dead hope-so faith. It is an affirmative faith that takes positive action, coupled with the help of God the Father, to change our lives. Acts 3, verses 1 through 5. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from the mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This man asked for something and expected to get it. But in reality, he got more than what he even expected. The point that I want to make is that the lame man acted in faith and was greatly rewarded. He was greatly rewarded. You know, many times we ask for something and expect to get nothing. And many times we get exactly what we expected, and that's nothing. We must stop rehearsing the past, regretting the past, and get on with the present and the future. The more time we spend regretting our past, the more time our future is wasted. You know, we need to learn from our past failures, and real success can be built on failure. Failure is the way that we become a success. We figure out what doesn't work, and we move on from there. Example is when Edison figured out on the 200th or so time what would make a light bulb stay on. He did this because he knew 199 different ways that it didn't work. So we never call it a failure in life. We never call it a failure in life. We call it an education. We learn from past failures and mistakes and act in faith for the future. You know, some people will never act in faith because they've been paralyzed by the fear of past failures and past mistakes. And what we need to do is learn from the past, act in faith for the future, and look to God for guidance. It's simple. How do we get rid of the fear of failure? How do we get rid of the fear of failure? Well, we talked about it earlier. It's faith. Faith. And that's why the third step in starting over is act in faith. Act in faith. Faith is not so much an absence of fear as it is moving in ahead in spite of the fear, in spite of our fear. Sometimes faith is doing the things that we fear the most. Sometimes faith is doing something that we fear the most. So we need to stop worrying about what others think. We need to step forward in faith. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. It states, being afraid of people can get you into trouble. Being afraid of people can get you into trouble. Well, the Living Bible in Proverbs 29:25 states, fear of man is a dangerous trap. Fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safety. So God's always there. He's our safety net. Moving on to R. R stands for refocus. R stands for refocus. You know, I need to refocus my thoughts if I want to change my life. If I want to get going again, if I want a fresh start, I need to rethink the way that I think. Again, in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That's something to really think about. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The way we think determines the way that we feel. And the way that we feel determines the way that we act. And if we want to change our actions, just change the way that we think, and it will inadvertently change the way that we act. And if we're acting in fearful, worried ways, it's because we're thinking fearful, worried thoughts. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. I'll go ahead and read this. Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if I have to refocus my thoughts to start over, to get a fresh start, that means I have to stop thinking of the same old patterns. You know, we read earlier, and the Bible says to let go. Let go of those things. The more we hold on to that memory, the more we rehearse it, and it continues to hurt us to this day. It can't hurt us without our permission. It can't hurt us without our permission. You know, we have to change our minds. We have to change our minds, let go, and get rid of those painful, those hurtful memories of shame and guilt and all the other things too. So how do we do that? How do we get rid of those? Well, the first is we've got to confess it. How do we get rid of a painful memory? Not by resisting it, but by replacing it. Not saying, you know, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it at different times. What are we doing the whole time? You know, we think about it. So stop focusing. We need to stop focusing on what we don't want, and we need to start focusing on what we do want. In other words, we need to refocus. We need to refocus our lives. Replace those memories every time that they come up and start thinking about something else. Focus on something else. And what's the best thing to focus on? What are the best things to focus on? Well, God's Word. God's Word. In Psalms, it says, happy are those who are always meditating on God's Word. They're like trees along the river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. And there are two things that everybody wants in life. Everybody wants in life. We all want to be happy, and we all want to succeed. And the antidote, and the way that we get this, is meditating on God's Word. Constantly meditating on God's Word. And that's the answer. The more we meditate, the happier, and the more successful, you know, that we'll be in our Christian life. And it's a promise from God. Meditating on God's Word simply means rehearsing God's Word in our minds. You know, it's interesting that the Bible doesn't say that if you read this book, you'll be happy and successful. And it doesn't say that if you listen to the book through a sermon, you'll be happy and successful. However, it says that if you meditate on it, you'll be happy and successful. So it's a combination. And meditating, it means I think on it over and over, and what it means in my life, and I consider it and consider its implications for my life. And as we fill our minds with God's words, it begins to change our minds positively. You know, we stop seeing ourselves as other people see us, and we see us as we have seen ourselves, and we begin to see ourselves as God does. And that's where the change takes place. That's where the change takes place. That's the power to start over. So the very last letter is T. T. And that stands for trust. T stands for trust. Trust God to help us succeed. Depend on Him. Depend on God. You know, we don't need to depend on ourselves. You know, we've already proven that we can't do it on our own. And that's why we failed. If we keep doing the same thing, then we keep getting the same results. And we can't change who we are. Only God can do that. You know, I'm not speaking about the outward man, but the inner man. You know, the real person is the hidden person of our heart. Success in the Christian life is not trying harder, but living smarter, giving God control of our lives. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. It states, "You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So we can't do it on our own. We have to rely on the power of God. You know, when someone becomes a Christian, they become a brand new person inside. You know, he's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. God specializes in new beginnings. And Jesus Christ has the power to do that. You know, it's called being born again and being baptized. You know, the chance to start all over. And God says, I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to give you a whole new life. Think about that. God is going to give us a whole new life. So as we conclude, can we have a fresh start in life? Can we have a new beginning? It's our choice. It is our choice, each and every one of us. And how can we have a fresh start? Well, we can have this fresh start by looking at the word start. S stands for stop making excuses. T stands for taking an inventory of our lives. A stands for act in faith. R stands for refocus. Refocus our thoughts. T stands for trust in God. Brethren, then and only then, once we put all these practices into our life, we will get a fresh start in life.